You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study. Come through the sun, come
by Spirit. Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, here's what we read. We read, "He said, 'Who are you?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer.'" That last word there is really the focus of our Bible study tonight. In the original language, it is the word Gaal. Gaal. I think I said that right. Gaal. G-A apostrophe A-L is what the resource I looked at said, which is translated here in the ESV, redeemer. Some of the older translations will add the word kinsman redeemer because it contains in it this idea that it has to be family. It has to be somebody that is related. Here's the context. Ruth, the young lady that is speaking, is a widow. She has buried her husband in the land of Moab, which is where she was born and raised and lived her entire life, in Moab. She's a widow, buried her husband. She's in Israel because of her love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi's husband, Ruth's father-in-law, also died in Moab. But it gets better. Not only did Ruth's husband and father-in-law, but also Ruth's brother-in-law, Naomi's other son, also died in Moab. It's better than that. Naomi's a widow, Ruth's a widow, and now with, in that culture, no husband and no sons, it looks like the family is going to come to an end, and beyond that, there is no money. No money, no way to live. And so Naomi says, listen, I'm going to head back to Israel. I'm going to go back. I think I can fare better over there than I can here in a foreign land, Moab. I'm going back to Israel. And she's going back really to nothing. Her husband sold their lands when she left, and when they left as a family, and now she's coming back. When she left Israel, she left with a husband and two sons and flush with cash. Now she's coming back to Israel. She's not married anymore. She's a widow. Her sons are dead. And she's got no money. And she's got no ability to go back and live on the land. She's destitute. But Ruth is so attached to Naomi and so much in love with her. Not in love in a sexual way, but in love with her in the familial way. Just really enjoyed being around her. And decided that dramatic statement in chapter 1 where she says, you know, I'm willing to leave everything. I'm willing to leave my home. I'm willing to leave my family. I'm willing to leave my parents. I'm willing to leave my country. I'm willing to leave my religion. And I just want to spend the rest of my life with you and around you. And I don't care if we're going to have to be destitute and poor together. I want to be with you and I want to serve you. And so she's back in Israel. They made it back there. And Ruth has been out in the fields gathering barley in the barley harvest, and she's gathering what scraps are left over from the harvesters and the reapers left on the ground. And so this is a picture of abject poverty. No hope, really at all. But in chapter 2, something remarkable happens. She's there picking up barley in somebody else's field that, you know, that falls behind the scraps. And the landowner, whose name is Boaz, he comes by just to check on the harvesters and see how it's going. And he sees Ruth. And he inquires about her. Who is this? In our fields here. Finds out who she is, where she's from, what she's doing. And then Boaz gives some instructions to his men. He says, listen, I want you to protect her. Don't let anybody touch her. Don't let anybody lay a hand on her. Protect her. And here's what else I want you to do. I want you to occasionally drop handfuls of grain so that she can pick it up. It's an amazing little picture of Boaz blessing her without her really even knowing, providing for her, doing good for her, protecting her, and she's just completely unaware of it, just completely unaware. Of course, she gets back home to Naomi. Naomi sees all the grain that she gathered, and Naomi puts two and two together and makes four. Where were you? I was in this guy named Boaz. I was in his field. Oh, look at all this grain you got. Ooh. I think I know what's going on. Hey, he's a kinsman redeemer. He's actually in our family. And then Naomi, she tells Ruth, listen, here's what I want you to do. Here's when I want you to do it. And here's who I want you to go talk to. Here's what I want you to say. And if you'll do it, we'll get out of this situation. And Ruth does it. She goes at the right time, the right place, to the right person, and she says the right things. What does she say? Well, we just read it. Verse 9. Look at what she says. She says, well, he says, who are you? That's their conversation. Boaz's conversation. Who are you? And she answers, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you're a redeemer. She's like, see, cover us. Would you cover us? You are Gaal. You are a kinsman redeemer. Here's the deal. In their society, in their way of life, the way that God had set it up, land was to stay in the family. So if you ended up in a situation where you needed to sell your land, you could sell your land, but you always had the right to buy it back, to purchase it back. They could never say to you, listen, you can't buy this back. No, you always had this right to purchase it back. And if you couldn't afford to buy back the land, one of your family members, your close relatives, also had the right to buy back the land so that the land would stay in the family. It wouldn't be moved out of the family. The other thing that they would do is that when a man would marry and then he would have his property that he was to farm and, you know, that kind of thing, if he died before he had a child, before he had an heir, his brother or close relative would take his wife, the widow, as his own, have a child for his brother or for his close relative, name him after his brother, his relative, and that way the land and his brother's name would continue in the family. It's just continuing to support keeping the land in the family and then keeping it cultivated and that kind of thing, keeping it occupied. That was the way that they did it. And so you can see when Ruth says to Boaz, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a kinsman redeemer. She's saying to him, listen, would you cover us? Would you provide for us? Would you redeem us? Would you purchase back the land that my father-in-law sold? And would you marry me and give my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and my husband that offspring, so that the land would continue in his name. So my father's name won't die. His father's name won't die. Because if you don't, the lands will be lost forever, and then we'll be cursed. The family will die, we'll become destitute, and no real hope of a blessed life. That's what she's saying. It's really desperate. He responds in verse 10, and look at this. This is interesting. Read it with me. He says, and he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. One of the great things in the book of Ruth is all these blessings that get said throughout it. It's really fun to read that and go, man, that's a great way to live, you know, just blessing people. He says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. So it kind of tells us there he's an older man. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, a Goel, I'm a kinsman redeemer, yet there is a Goel nearer than I. In other words, there's a guy that's actually first in line. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. You're going to be redeemed. Isn't that great? Only wait here till the morning. And so he says, listen, I'm promising you, this thing's going to get worked out. He's giving her that assurance. You just need to wait. You need to be patient. You're going to be provided for. You're going to be covered one way or the other. You're going to be delivered. So, of course, you read the story. He goes, speaks to the other man, the closer relative. That man was really willing, eager to buy the land, to purchase it back. He wanted to have the land. But then he realized, oh, man, if I take the land, I got to take Ruth. And he goes, I can't do that. He wasn't willing and able to marry Ruth, to take Ruth. And so he gives up his rights. And so Boaz, right there on the spot, this dramatic scene, right there on the spot, he announces, I'm buying the land, and I'm also taking Ruth as my wife. You 10 guys, you're my witnesses. Let's make this transaction final. Woo! And they do it. They sign it. He gets his marriage license, and he's off and running. And of course, we read today, they got married, and at the end of the story, man, there's all this joy, and people are blessing people, and other people, the people are blessing other people. Naomi's happy, Ruth's happy, there's a baby, his name's Obed, and then we find out right at the end of the story, Obed is the grandfather of King David. And you're like, wow, what a way to end the story. So encouraged. Judges was terrible. This is amazing. Great story. There's a couple of significant things in this story that I want to draw your attention to. First, notice how Boaz is such a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. For so many of us, Christ has been blessing us behind the scenes, discreetly, providing for us and protecting us. And we are completely unaware of his love. We're scraping and scrapping and clawing and fighting through life to get scraps, and he's blessing. He's blessing. We're completely unaware how much he loves us, how much he's attracted to us, and how much he could do for us in life. You know, notice how Boaz isn't young. Let me say it a different way. He's not hot. This is like Jesus. Jesus is not the latest and greatest. He's not the newest and the most up-to-date and the most fashionable thing out there. Christ and Christianity, it's old. Yeah, from the outside, it doesn't look that attractive. It doesn't look that appealing. It looks like, oh, man, boring. That's what it looks like from the outside. The reality of it is completely different. Boaz was wise, stable, secure, sure, steadfast, proven, full of love, full of affection, full of blessing, full of provision. He laid out a life for her that was full of joy, full of peace. He was totally able to redeem and to cover all of her debt and graciously provide for all of her shortcomings and problems. He is Christ. He is and always will be the lover of our soul. You're not going to find a better match. Notice how Boaz had to be a close relative. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why he had to become human. He took on flesh. This is why he came as a baby, born into this world. He became human. and experienced humanity just the same as all of us. He was tempted in every way, just as you and I were. He is our family. He is our kinsman redeemer. He had to be in the family. It's only somebody that is like us, somebody that is in our family, that can actually qualify to pay the price for us, to redeem us, to purchase us back from a life of destitution, a life of scraping, a life of scrapping, a life of fighting and clawing to survive in life. Notice how Boaz had to pay the price before consummation. What does that mean? There's no sex till they got married. Till there's a marriage license. He did it straight up. Notice that. Just as Jesus came and willingly offered himself on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin, past, present, future sin, to remove the debt of sin, of guilt, and of shame that we could never pay, in order to redeem us, in order to love us, in order to shower us with blessing, in order to provide for us fully, completely, in honor and in joy. And we are awaiting the consummation of that, to see him face to face. He's given us the promise, this thing's going to be resolved. I'm coming back. Notice how Boaz married her. He didn't just take her as a concubine, like the Levite at the end of Judges. He didn't just fulfill his duty as the kinsman redeemer and then ditch her. He didn't take advantage of her. He took her as his own, and he provided for her. He brought her into his house. He provided for her all of his riches, all of the access to his wealth. He dignified her. He made her proud. He made her a proud wife and a proud mother of children. He honored her because he loved her. It's exactly the same thing with Jesus. Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 1, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his great and precious promises. So through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? He is wanting to share everything he's got. That's a marriage. He's not looking to use people. He's looking to love people and to bless people and to do more in them than he would ever do through them. Notice how Ruth is so much like us. She had to wait patiently, just the same as we're waiting for Christ to return, having purchased the earth, redeeming it from Adam's sale. Adam's sin, Adam's failure, purchasing it back, and he's coming back in joy and in glory to possess what is rightfully his. What is that? The entire created earth. All the things of creation. And us. Forever and ever. Notice how Ruth had to come to Boaz the right way, the right time, saying the right words. This is like any person here, you or me. You have to come to Jesus Christ. You have to come the right way. You say, Andy, what's the right way? Faith. You have to come by faith and confess your sin. You have to ask him to cover you, to forgive you, make you part of his family, the family of God. You have to do it at the right time. What's the right time? Scripture is clear. Today. I love Psalm 91 verse 4, where he says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Beautiful. Notice how Ruth had to leave her mother and father, her home, her culture, her religion, her old life, and enter into a completely new life, new home, new culture, new religion, new way of doing things. This is like the Christian. We leave all of the old life behind. We die to our past, to our old way of doing things, to our old associations, to our old friendships and our old relationships, replacing them with a new priority, a new love, a new affection, a new object of our worship, a new master to obey, a new way of living, which the New Testament calls the way of love. What's the new way of living? It's the way of love. What's the best way to treat my mom and dad? To give my life to Jesus Christ and to treat them in the way of love. Receiving God's love in order to love them. What's the best way to treat friends and associates and work and all this? It's to give your life to Jesus Christ and receive his love in order to live the way of love to others, to have access to love. Notice lastly that Ruth went from Moab to Israel, from outside the covenant to inside the covenant, from scavenging to abundance, from childless to motherhood, from poor to prosperous, from down to up, from loveless to loved, from humbled to exalted. That's the power of Redeemer. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There is nothing like surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, to receiving his love. There's nothing like that. And its effect on you spiritually, its effect on you psychologically, its effect on you holistically, even physically. Listen, you were made for relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been called to rule and to reign. His love is evident and obvious. The question is, do you love him? Will you ask him, cover me with your feathers. Cover me. Be my redeemer. How did it happen? She went the right way at the right time and said the right things to the right person. Same for you and I. Listen, today is the day. Now is the right time. Jesus is the right person. Come to him in faith. It's the right way. You can be saved. Amen? If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian tonight. You need to do it tonight. You don't need to spend any more time out scavenging and clawing and fighting and scraping through life. You need to stop picking up what falls off the bus and start driving the bus. The only way to do that is to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to do that tonight. And if you're a Christian, recognize you may need to learn how to live in the big house. You may need to learn how to operate in his kingdom. You might need a little tour of what you've been given. And understand you're in a new culture, in a new way of doing things. And it's living by faith and it's living in love. Completely foreign to us. Completely foreign to us. But it's the way to go. It's the way to go. I was talking to one of the guys this week and the Lord had showed up in his life in a special way, dramatic way. He was rejoicing at how God had showed up this week. I can't give away the story because it's his story. And I just looked at him. I was beaming and I said, man, I want to tell you, that's the life of faith. That's the spiritual life. That's the life of love. That's the life that the New Testament is talking about. You've entered into it. It's addicting. There's no other life like that. Jesus has covered me. I'm not clawing. I'm not fighting. I'm not scrapping. I'm not scraping. Amen? I'm resting. It's a good word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the story of Ruth. Thank you for what a beautiful picture it is of your love for us. And Father, if there's anybody here tonight that has not given their life to you, Lord, I pray they would do that tonight. Best Christmas gift you could ever give God is yourself. He gave himself for you. Lord, I pray they'd have the courage to do that tonight. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, would you give us a fresh reminder of your love, of your grace, of your power, of your presence, Lord, of your wealth, of your magnitude, of your provision for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, so many of us need just a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, of your love, of your grace. And Lord, we confess we love you, and we're looking forward to seeing you face to face very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come to the Father, come through the Son, come by Spirit, find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. Won't you come to the Father? Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Find love. Come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Come find acceptance. Find forgiveness. Come find peace. Find freedom. New life's bigger. Let him come. So